Hello everyone and welcome to episode 200 of Knowing Wheel. Yes, Jamie and I return with a very special show to announce this celebration. We're back previewing the Mexican Grand Prix. That's just the way things have lined up. We might do a special show when we can. But Jamie, first of all, how are we doing, sir?
I'm good, yes. Middle of a triple header, so that's always fun. Plenty of Grand Prix action. No sprint this week, of course, but Mexico is always a good event. Whether it's a good race or not is a bit hit or miss, but yeah, hopefully it's a good one. And obviously we've got a championship fight that's really on. So yeah, it should be good.
Clearly you watched a different US Grand Prix to me, but I love the attempt at obviously trying to build up some hype as well. We haven't really got a championship fight anymore, have we?
That was satire.
I was going to say, yeah. And I mean, Mexico as well. I'm not going to immediately try and downplay the weekend, but it's not often been a particularly memorable race, has it? I think the only one I can really remember was Vettel getting angry at Charlie Whiting.
Because of the nature of the topography, that's a good word, of the track, it means they can't really follow. Which is always good for a Grand Prix venue. And should we get straight into our first bit of news? Because not only last year could they not really overtake each other, they've also shortened the DRS zone on the main straight.
Yes, and I think it's 790 metres or something absolutely insane.
And if you remember last year, I'm remembering rightly, it was when Tsunoda and Piastri were just beefing for like half the race.
Yeah.
And Tsunoda was trying to get past Piastri so many times and just couldn't.
Yeah.
And yes, it's Honda versus Mercedes, but then those engines are pretty similar.
Well, no one talks about it anymore, which means everyone's kind of accepted they're pretty much even.
Yeah, and Piastri still took Tsunoda took about 30 laps trying to work up the courage to go for a move, which kind of tells you the DRS was probably about right, or maybe slightly too short, if anything. So the fact they've shortened it is a bit concerning.
Yeah, it does seem like a bit of an odd choice, doesn't it? I mean, I understand, obviously, around a lot of tracks where, you know, it's just drivers obviously absolutely flying past each other. But, of course, obviously, the DRS is less effective anyway in Mexico because of the altitude. So, obviously, there's less resistance anyway for the car in front.
Yeah.
It's always that circuit, isn't it? I remember when we came here in 2022, Jamie, and we kind of, like, wanted to try and hype it up in our head that we were there going, Mexico might actually be great now because of the ground effect. And then you kind of realise everything they've done in Formula 1 over the last few years to try and make the cars battle closer doesn't work in Mexico because of the air pressure rather than anything else.
Yeah, so it becomes a tyre-saving affair. And, yeah, there's not enough slipstream effect, really, because, yeah, to go all James May on you, the air pressure is so low that punching a hole in the air is
easier,
much less effective because it's easier. So the car behind gets less of an effect of slipstream because the difference between running behind a car and running in free air in terms of top speed is not that different.
No, exactly.
There's a physics lesson for you.
What Mexico needs desperately for the Grand Prix, which if I'm not mistaken, I don't think has actually ever happened since we returned to this venue, is a wet race. I think that could potentially deliver intrigue.
That would be good. Because it'd be very low grip, because there's not enough air to create the downforce in a way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can't imagine the tarmac is particularly used to being wet, so that might be like a Germany 2019 situation. Although that tarmac definitely was used to being wet, apart from the drag strip.
Exactly, yeah. Drag strips just aren't used when it rains, funnily enough. Do you see DTM? Someone binned it there a couple of... I think last weekend it was the championship decider in DTM.
No, I didn't see that.
And someone, one of the championship contenders, I think it was, just hit that ever so slightly and just went straight off really slowly in like the most depressing way in the world.
It still causes me pain.
Hulkenberg.
Hulkenberg not getting a podium in that race.
You're like today's meme going up on my YouTube channel, is all I'm going to say.
Right.
I mean, what else have we got, though, Jamie? Of course, after all the controversy last weekend at COTA, I mean, this is literally hot off the press this morning, but McLaren have apparently launched an appeal surrounding the penalty from last weekend. But you've got news about a potential leak, haven't you?
Yeah, it was on The Race, which is a very good podcast, almost as good as this one. They basically posted a video about the racing rules and why Verstappen is just the best driver at exploiting them. Because, yeah, as we kind of expected, we've had this supposedly internal racing guidelines since the beginning of 2023, which has been more about whoever has the apex can do what they want, is basically the upshot. And that means that stuff like what happened in COTA, turn 12, because Verstappen was ahead of the apex, he can run off the track and it's okay. Which I don't like at all, but that's the rules. And Verstappen has just been, he always has been, an expert at, like, he's like a racing lawyer, because he just finds the rules and learns how to exploit them to his advantage.
Well, I think when you say a racing lawyer, he's more like that guy that's definitely killed three people and he's defending him. Like, you know, ethically it's not right, but he's still going to do it.
Yeah, well, that if you play to the rules that you get, and if the rules are dumb, who's to blame him for?
Well, this is always what we've said, isn't it? And I know, obviously, people go on at me that obviously I'm not a Max fan, and that therefore I hate it more and more. But I have always made it clear that obviously, yes, I'm not a fan of the way he drives, but that's not his problem to fix if the FIA don't do anything about it. If the rules were changed, he was still doing it, and they weren't penalising him, then I'd have more of a problem with him. But at the moment, my issue lies with the FIA, their inability to fix this.
Yeah. And I think Max is very clever for doing what he's doing, to be honest, because
he's getting away with it. Why wouldn't he?
Way
exactly.
Than everyone else.
Well, I think the others understand the rules, but I just think a lot of them aren't willing to do that.
Maybe they've
as
got
well,
a bit more self-respect, yeah.
Yeah, it's that will to win, isn't it? People like to... Yeah. I think it's the difference, isn't it? Where people sort of say about, you know, like Michael or Ayrton or something like that, and Max to a certain degree... And the difference kind of between them and, say, someone like Hamilton would be, or like Jim Clark would be, or something like that.
Yeah, Jackie Stewart.
Exactly. I mean, the McLaren appeal, though, Jamie, let's be fair. We spoke about this pre-show very temporarily. We'll cut to the chase. We don't think it's going to go anywhere.
No, it won't. It won't at all. And, yeah, because you can only ever appeal based on new evidence.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And surely, like, what new evidence are they going to have? Because it all happened in front of our eyes, so... There's always nothing more to be said, and they came to that decision, and that's the decision. They're not going to change it now.
No. I would be staggered if we suddenly... The only reason I could see them changing anything is if the FIA suddenly go, actually, we do want a bit of a title fight, and that six-point shift the other day does give you a chance, but I can't see them doing it.
Yeah, and the reason they rushed, or like not rushed, but the reason they came so quickly to the five-second penalty last week was because they didn't want... a situation where the podium's getting changed 2 hours after the race.
Exactly.
So they don't want the podium changed 7 days after the race either. Like,
no. Yeah, like Fisichella, Raikkonen, Brazil 2003 or whatever
it was. Yeah, I mean, Raikkonen, that was just a clerical error that gave Raikkonen that win.
I can't get over the fact that even in those pictures afterwards, Raikkonen's, during like the trophy swap, Raikkonen's smiling.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, isn't it? That must be the last time he smiled.
It's... Yeah, I mean, that time to go full bubble hat on this was that was not a penalty situation. So Raikkonen never should have had the win anyway, which is probably why he took it lightly, because it was a red flag and they counted two laps back wrong.
How on earth? Was,
yeah, how do you do that? I guess it's 2003 and people can't count back then.
Hey?
Yeah.
20 years ago, people have only learned the ability to count in the last 20 years. Exactly. Everything done before that was based on guesswork and vibes.
Yeah, I mean, in F1 it pretty much was, to be honest, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but... it still is now to a certain degree, isn't it? Jamie, I mean, most of our podcast today is obviously, again, Mexico preview, but it seems like every other week we kind of come back round to this merry-go-round of... Let's try and cram some clickbait in there, won't we? Red Bull, V-Carb, Oscar Piastri, Liam Lawson, Franco Colapinto. There's lots of rumours going around, isn't there, again? So I think we should probably talk about those.
Yeah, probably. And actually, I think the most exciting one is definitely the Piastri, which has kind of come out over the last day. That Mark Webber, who's obviously his manager...
No, say it properly for me.
Sorry? Mark Webber.
Thank you.
Yeah. has basically like started stirring the pot that Piastri should go to Red Bull, and I think that it works. I don't mind it. We said back in early 2023, when Piastri was a very, very good rookie, we were like, if he improves on the trajectory that he should improve on, then that McLaren lineup is not sustainable for a long time.
If they're still in this position with a good car, then absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. So why? And we said for a while, we said through most of last year that it would be Norris leaving to Red Bull, but why not Piastri? He's operating at a very high level, not quite at Norris's level over the course of a season, but he's clearly capable of operating like one in two races, probably at Norris's level on average.
Well, it feels like, yeah, you get kind of a couple of races where, well, you get like one race where Oscar is close, one race where he's a little bit further away, and then one race where he looks quicker than Lando. And we keep sort of going around this cycle of three, don't we? I think,
I think people forget Piastri's in his second season of Formula One.
Yeah.
So, like,
around the McLaren team that has been molded completely for Lando as well, which people don't talk about enough.
And if you look at Norris, even, like, obviously he's very, very good now. People would probably put him in the top five drivers on the grid quite easily now.
Yeah, I think so.
Through 2019, 2020, he was pocketed by Carlos Sainz at McLaren.
Yeah.
And Sainz was good, but he wasn't, like, top five at any
point. Sainz had about as much experience then as Lando does now going up against Oscar. Yeah. That's basically what you're comparing here.
Yeah. So if Piastri continues to improve like Norris did, then I think he's on for a winner, basically. And Red Bull would be a very good place for him to go. I'm not sure Max would like it.
I mean, it's one of those really, really difficult things, because I think ultimately next year is going to be make or break for that relationship at McLaren. I think if they've got, again, a car that is this competitive, maybe, slightly better than Red Bull, something like that, and Oscar can kind of work his head around these Pirelli tyres, say he gets a couple of, he gets like a safety car or something that goes his way early on, and he gets ahead of Lando in the championship or something like that, then it could be real make or break for McLaren next year. I mean, Mark Webber, sorry, Jamie, say it for me properly.
Mark Webber,
he will be, obviously, just, I would have thought, down at Red Bull, completely steering the angle of, you've lost this Constructors' Championship because of Sergio Perez. We're going to win this Constructors' Championship through having Oscar Piastri as the second driver. That could be you in the future again. And, for Red Bull as well, I think if they are genuinely worried about Max not being there longer term, McLaren have built their team up around Oscar. Around Lando even. Yeah. Would it be such a mistake for Red Bull to start thinking about a future with Oscar Piastri kind of at the helm?
Yeah, it would. Well, it wouldn't be dumb at all, because Max has made it very clear that he's, whether you believe him or not, he's not
personally
400
don't,
races.
Yeah. I mean, that's not that difficult to do anymore, is it? Happy 400th race, Fernando Alonso, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. They're going to celebrate by finishing 14th. I don't think Max will be around much beyond 2030, if I'm honest, which would make him
15-year career. Yeah,
so like that would be quite young if he was to call it quits, say, at that point. But that's not that far away. That's 6 years. That's longer than Max has been a Red Bull already. Sorry, that's not as long as Max has been a Red Bull already. So would it be a bad idea to get someone lined up? I mean, because you look at their junior program, they've not exactly got a Sebastian Vettel, Max Verstappen-like figure coming through the ranks at Red Bull right now. So
Isaac Hadjar, Jamie, surely? The world's angriest Frenchman. Which
but
is saying
if you look at, like, Behrmann and Antonelli are kind of the two next. They're going to, in 5 to 8 years' time, they're going to be, like, the top of the sport.
Red we also said this about George Russell.
It's true, but Russell, it's hard, like, Russell kind of is. He's pocketing a seven-time world champion at the minute, if we say he's actually got a proper car. Then, like,
we're going to talk about that in a second, aren't we, once we've gone through all this, because Mercedes, again, just stupidity.
Yeah, but, like, you look at Behrmann and Antonelli, they're going to be Mercedes and Ferrari's, like, poster boys
future
in 10 years' time.
Yeah, do you reckon Charles won't be Ferrari's darling still?
Charles will be 36 in 10 years.
Charles will be bold dealing with the stress of Ferrari for that long. It is mad when you think about it, though, with Leclerc, that, like, I genuinely can't see him ever going, like, unless he does get pocketed by someone at some point, I genuinely can see him having, like, a 20-year career at Ferrari and nothing to show for it.
Well, he's already, is he 26, 27? I've forgotten. He's
slightly younger than Max, isn't he? So he's, like, he's 20, I think he might just be 27.
Yes, he turned 27 last week, actually. Happy birthday, Charles Leclerc.
There you go.
Finished. yeah, so, you know, Behrman is 18, so there's 9 years between them there. Like, say Behrman's in the Ferrari in 2 years' time, then Leclerc's pushing 30. You're going to get into a Leclerc-Vettel situation, aren't you?
Yeah. So, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, we'll see. But basically, I think Piastri to Red Bull is a good move for
Do you think it'll happen, though, Jamie?
I would like to see it happen. I don't. It won't happen for 25, no chance.
No. 2026, though?
Yeah, it could happen for 2026. I mean, yeah, because they have lost this. I mean, they might have finished third in the championship while winning the drivers.
I think it's highly likely they finished third in the constructors.
Yeah, so, and Oscar Piastri, you know, respectfully, obviously he's still on his upward trajectory in his career because he's only in his second season, but if he's losing to Norris quite comfortably, you'd imagine Max would be quite comfortably ahead right now as well.
Especially yeah, it depends on driving style and things, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be nice. And obviously Mark Webber has got a lot of history
Thank
with
you.
Red Bull.
Exactly. Which so, I'm staggered he wants Oscar to go there, but there we are.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I wonder if he's just going in like not bad for number two driver. And that's it. That's
I mean, he refused to allow that to be written into his contract.
Yeah.
If that was the case.
Which makes it difficult to see, because Max would refuse to not be number one, I'd imagine.
Yeah,
maybe they make them equal, and then Max just wins anyway.
Yeah, could happen. I reckon Oscar would traipse him 18-6 in races, just immediately. I mean, the other rumour, though, isn't it, Jamie, is that there could be all kind of move and finally someone promoted from the Red Bull Junior. When was the last time? Was it Albon? The last time a Red Bull, like an AlphaTauri driver then, was promoted.
Which is
Red
not
Bull.
That long ago. I mean, that's one. There's only been one Red Bull transfer
but
between
you, But you think that was, what, 4 years ago? 5 years ago? 5 years ago now. More than 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, never happened in Red Bull's history. Like, they've never gone more than what? Well, actually, I suppose 2010 to 2013. Or 2009, even. For 5 years.
But, like, that's the thing. Red Bull's drivers haven't... It's not like they've been signing everyone on the grid. They've had Perez. And before they signed Perez, it was Albon. They've only gone one driver between that period.
Yeah, I suppose.
But, yeah, finally, based off one ninth place and a third place in Q1... Liam Lawson's now the GOAT, which is great. Great news. I love him. So, yeah, if he carries on beating Tsunoda like he did in COTA, then he could end up as Max Verstappen's teammate next year, which would be quite impressive. And I don't know what Sergio Perez would do.
Enjoy a happy life in Mexico.
Yeah, probably. He'd probably go straight back to sleep again. And, That would leave
actually, I don't know with Checo. Can I see him going IndyCar? I can't really see him going IndyCar, weirdly.
He's got family, hasn't he? I'd imagine he's just chill.
Yeah, I suppose. I read a brilliant article from his performance engineer this week that was talking, obviously, about Perez when he was coming through the junior formula. And he was always saying, because obviously he was absolutely bankrolled by Carlos Slim, who was at one point the world's richest man. And he was saying, obviously, like when he was doing, I think it was forming a BMW in Germany. Obviously, he was there going, like, he had no worries whatsoever because the money was never running out. So he was saying, I think he was 16, and he took his performance engineer's hire car and trashed it. And, like, he lived in, like, complete squalor in his apartment because, obviously, he just didn't care, apparently. He was going, like, he was doing everything I would tell a driver not to do. He was apparently, like, a nightmare. And, like... You wouldn't really expect that from Sergio until you kind of think about Monaco
anymore.
2022, but...
Well, yeah, I suppose. But he seems like a nice guy on the outside, doesn't he? But, yeah.
I mean, he's adamant he's got a contract for next year and that he will be in that Red Bull car next year.
Well,
which
does,
is always...
Doesn't it?
Well, exactly, which is always the death knell for any driver at Red Bull.
Yeah.
Unless you're Max Verstappen. If you think you've got a seat next year, it probably means you don't.
Yeah, often. Oftentimes, that's true. But if Lawson does go to Red Bull, then obviously that leaves a seat available at RB. And, well, James Vowles is pushing for Colapinto to have it, which is odd since he's his own driver.
Well, no, apparently it's Helmut Marko wanted him. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if James Vowles has said as well. Because I guess
Helmut Marko, yeah, just just gets a bit excited when he sees a young driver doing well as a replacement, doesn't he? Because he signed Nick de Vries for the same reason.
And that Nick de Vries wasn't really a young driver at that point, but it should tell you everything you need to know when Mercedes, Aston Martin, and Williams all had him testing for them, and yet he never raced for any of them, apart from obviously Williams once.
Well, a few times now, but to be fair to Colapinto, he is taking his chance. I think he's doing great, but he is not exactly like, it's a bit like a Lawson Tsunoda situation from last year, where on paper he's beating Albon, but really he's not. Like, Albon's had horrendous luck.
Well, the other big thing you've got to remember with Colapinto, which obviously it's called Visa Cash App Racing Bulls, Jamie, should be important. Apparently, he is bringing as much money to Williams as Perez brings to Red Bull. That's how much Argentinian funds are going into that team right now.
Yeah, and to be fair, the Argentinian fans on social media are going mental every time he doesn't.
They're always going mental.
It's not that bad of a shout, I don't think, this, if Lawson doesn't have a Red Bull, to get Colapinto in that V-Cup, because I don't know who else you'd get in there, because it looks like, it's not on the notes, but Bortoleto to Audi might be a thing.
Well, I was about to say Bottas apparently is going to be staying there.
No,
apparently he seems very, very confident now.
No, that was the opposite of what I saw.
Oh, okay. Well, no one knows what's going on with Bottas. It was either he's going to stay with Sauber, or he's going to join Mercedes again in like a background test driver role.
Yeah, that was it. And Lawrence Barreto, who apparently is really matesy with Bottas, because everything I see on Bottas comes from him.
It's the one guy that cares, bless him.
So Lawrence Barreto tweeted yesterday, Valtteri Bottas says his priority is to stay with Sauber Audi next year, but he's in talks with Mercedes about returning to Silver Arrows in a non-F1 racing role in 2025. He's also talking to others to give him some options should Sauber choose Bortoleto.
I think Bottas would cook in World Endurance.
He'd cook in a lot of things. I think he would. A very capable driver.
He just can't race wheel to wheel.
No, yeah. And like he said in press conference, I've got to look at all the alternatives. When he was asked. So if someone's saying that, it means they're not particularly confident. Like, it's not a done deal. They're going to stay where they are.
Right.
So in my head, that's pretty positive news for Bortoleto. So,
or Porsche? Yeah.
Not Porsche.
I wanted it to be Porsche, man. I can't wait after all of it for it to be Robert Schwartzman in the end.
No,
it just comes out of left
Bottas.
Field.
It's Bottas or Bortoleto.
Pretty much, isn't it? Yeah.
And either of them will get smashed by Hülkenberg in 19th place. So,
exactly. Yeah, 19th and 20th all next year. Oh, man. I mean, yeah, it's... I mean, what have we got next year? We've got, obviously, Lawson in the car, Doohan in, Behrmann in, Antonelli in. Am I forgetting anybody else?
Bortoleto, potentially.
Potentially Bortoleto, and potentially Colapinto. Like, six newish drivers is insane,
yeah,
isn't it?
Considering this year we had no new drivers at the start.
Exactly. But we did say that at the start of the year, obviously, but they're going, obviously, it's the most, it was actually the deadest winter transfer. But we were always there going, that normally is the calm before the storm, though, when things go a little bit crazy. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm still not really sure why they're bringing in Jack Doohan. Like,
just
don't get me wrong,
no
he's
one else he wanted to
good.
See, was it?
Well, yeah, I think so. Like, he's good, but he's not fantastic in my eyes. But then again, he might. Yeah. Again, people would have thought the same about Colapinto. It really is a bit difficult to predict now, isn't it? Who's actually going to fire up
he's
and who
actually
isn't.
Good or not. I think Doohan will be all right. It'll be like a Joe, basically, where he'll stick around for 3 years and then go.
Oh, I think he'll be better than Joe. Don't insult him.
Well, Joe,
that much.
Yeah. Joe has actually been screwed by an awful car and a capable teammate. I think Doohan. Like, Joe could easily.
Are you saying Gasly isn't a capable teammate?
I think Bottas is a much better qualifier than Gasly, for sure.
Yeah.
And
Richard, not joining F1 next year.
I think Joe could have easily ended up like a. Is Marcus Ericsson too good for that?
Marcus Ericsson was a pay driver as well, so I suppose you're pretty accurate.
And Ericsson stuck around for 4 years, got a bit of respect and credibility. And then,
no, he didn't!
He did. Everyone loves Marcus Ericsson.
He got absolutely destroyed by rookie Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, but Leclerc's special, isn't he? Like, that's the thing. I think Doohan will end up a bit like Marcus Ericsson. That's my own call.
That's what you're saying. That is an odd comparison, but okay. I'm all for it. I mean, we've rambled on about potential driver moves that probably won't end up happening, Jamie. We've got to get on to the Mexico nitty-gritty, haven't we? We've got, hopefully we've got a quiz and some predictions left to do. Wonderful.
Yes, of course, it is the Mexican Grand Prix, as we know.
Yep.
The main event, the main driver that everyone comes to see...
Is Sergio Perez.
Oh, in Mexico, no. Of course. Sergio Perez has 6 Formula One wins.
He does.
You need to name anybody who stood on the podium next to Sergio Perez on the top step. Your time starts now. You got
Max Verstappen.
Correct.
Charles Leclerc.
Correct.
Sebastian Vettel.
Yes.
Lewis Hamilton.
Nope.
George Russell.
Nope.
Valtteri Bottas.
No.
Carlos Sainz.
Yep. 40 seconds. You're doing well. You got 4 left.
Oh, Ocon. Stroll.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
2 left.
I'm trying to think. It was one at Baku 2021, which is going to really annoy me.
Correct.
It wasn't Ricciardo or Norris or someone like that, was it?
No, no.
No.
20 seconds.
Who was it? Can't have been Hülkenberg.
Lol. Cheers.
Who would have been alongside 12
seconds.
Oh, man. Vettel. He was on the podium back in 2021.
5 seconds.
Alonso?
Yes.
Yeah. That wasn't then, though. Is that literally the one I'm forgetting? Is back in 2021. Oh, yeah. Right. Give me a second, then. Give me a second. 7 out of 8. I'm fairly happy that I got Alonso last second. Obviously, I said Leclerc and Sainz at Ferrari. I said Lando and Ricciardo at McLaren. I said, obviously, Lewis and... even though I know obviously neither of them got a podium there. Nice break magic. Obviously Verstappen was out of that Grand Prix. Man, who drove in 2021? It wasn't Ocon?
No.
No, I've already said Ocon anyway.
Ocon also didn't race. No, he didn't. He won, didn't he? Alpine.
Yeah. Who was racing in 2021, man? I've already said Seb because he was on the podium with it. It was Seb was second, wasn't he?
Seb was second for Aston Martin, yeah.
Was it like Gasly or something? Vika?
It was Gasly.
Oh, man, how did I not guess that? Because I got muddled up, yeah, because I was like, oh, I know Kvyat got a podium when obviously Max won in Germany 19. So that didn't happen again, though, did it? Damn it.
Kvyat wasn't... It was Gasly Tsunoda, wasn't it, that year?
No, sorry, I meant in 2019, Kvyat got a podium. Yeah. I just didn't think another V-Carb or Alfatari or Toro Rosso or whatever we're calling it, Minardi.
They've had... How many podiums they had ever? Just Monza.
It's like 5 or 6, isn't it?
It's only 3?
No! They've had 2 wins, and we've just named another 2.
Oh, yeah, of course. I think it must be 4, then. 2 wins, a third with Kvyat, and a third with Gasly. I think that's it, to be honest.
Brazil 2019?
Oh, yeah.
That's
wow,
fine.
I'm such a fake fan of Gasly.
You are. I was going to say, yeah.
Gasly had 3 podiums with that team. What an absolute goat. People say Vettel's good.
You got the win, though. That's all that matters.
Gasly.
Yeah, I suppose, actually. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Pierre Gasly, better than Sebastian Vettel. Confirmed.
I actually would back that.
Oh, don't behave. Oh, man.
I'd back it as of 2020 onwards.
As of right now.
Exactly.
That was it. Mercedes, Jamie. Kimi Antonelli's in the car in free practice. Lewis has been told he's got to keep the COTA upgrades. Kimi Antonelli now has to crash that car again so Lewis doesn't get stuck with the new parts.
Yeah, it's an inside job to
I hope so.
Lewis will just be in Antonelli's ear being like, please stack it. And he doesn't even need to try because he wasn't trying to stack it in Monza and still did. So
He was certainly driving like he knew he was going to crash in Monza. It was the best 4 runs in Formula One you'll ever 4 laps in Formula One you'll ever see
in practice.
I love Antonelli for it.
We'll
predictions,
see.
Predictions, Jamie. That's the last thing we got to do, isn't it?
Yeah. The scores on the doors. I think I'm winning.
You're not.
No, I'm not. I'm 4 points behind. I should.
Yeah. You closed up
it's
1 point
not
last week.
A sprint.
It's not a sprint. There's only 8 points available.
Exactly. I am going to be really dumb. No, I'm not. Oh. I'm going to say Charles Leclerc on pole.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going to say Max Verstappen to win.
Okay, that's not so bold.
He hasn't won in about 4 months.
Yeah, but he's won that. Every Mexican Grand Prix for the last 6 months. Half a decade.
I will say Charles Leclerc second.
Okay.
And
another Leclerc pole to bottle.
Exactly.
Lando Norris P3.
Name a more iconic duo than Leclerc pole, Max win.
Yeah, that's a good combo. Right, well, I'm going to have to go slightly differently then, aren't I? So I'm hopefully going to claim 2 easy points and say Max pole.
You know he's had 1 pole in about 6 months.
Yeah, but this is Mexico. And I'm trying to do... Well, there's no track on the calendar similar to Mexico because of the high altitude.
Yeah, it was a Ferrari 1-2 on qualifying last year.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think. Austria is what I'm basing this off, and Max dominated qualifying at Austria.
He did, but that's all... Yeah, I guess that's a Red Bull specialist track, but then so is Mexico.
So is Mexico. So I'm going to say Max pole. I'm going to say... I'm going to have to go the opposite of you, and it's so stupid. Actually, no, I won't. I'm going to say Lando Norris win. I'm going to say Max P2, Charles P3. So we've guessed exactly the same podium, just in a different order.
No Perez on the podium. I mean, he hasn't had a podium in about a year, has he?
Has he ever been on the podium? Oh, no, he did get a podium once in Mexico, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, when he definitely should have beaten Hamilton, but didn't.
Yes. Was that... No, I thought he did beat Hamilton in 2021.
No.
Did he not? Fair enough.
No, he didn't. And it would have massively helped the championship if he did, but what a fraud. I mean, we won the championship anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, Michael Massey won the championship, but yeah, that's the important bit. Have we got anything else to add, though, Jamie, before we go down that rabbit hole yet again?
Do you think it goes to Abu Dhabi? When do you think
that's
in the championship?
It'll be done in Qatar Sprint again. It's going to be
that'd
one
be
of
so
those.
Funny.
It's going to
be
Max
really
winning
weird.
In back-to-back years at a sprint. Because that's the way maths works.
And that'd be 4 championships in a row that have been won under dubious circumstances.
Exactly. Where he hasn't won in a normal
way. Well,
because
he had Japan where Johnny Herbert announced it in the press conference.
Because Charles got a penalty.
Yeah, and then you had... And that was Japan
sprint
as well, where
last,
he didn't know how to do the points properly.
Exactly, yeah.
And then the sprint race where Piastri won it. Yeah. We'll see. It could
absolutely
happen. I'd laugh a lot if he won it in Qatar.
I mean, it probably will. I reckon that's what 60. Well, you need a 52-point buffer going into the final 2 races, which I think he'll do. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure and leave a like. Get yourself subscribed. We're trying to hit 1,000 subs. Still, I'm going to keep banging that drum. We're more than 3/4 of the way there now. And I mean, yeah, Jamie as well. I'd like to thank you for sticking around for 200 episodes of this show.
Yeah.
We
never
talking about this pre.
Far.
Exactly. We started this in 2021 as like a little bit of a COVID lockdown fun side project. And here we are now, 3 years later, still going strong. Thank you all. And we'll be back next week to talk about how on earth Pierre Gasly got another win. But this time for Alpine. Wild.